everybody. Bill Buckmaster. Are you as sleepy as I am? There are a lot of sleepy people in Tucson. That storm started at 9 o'clock. Four straight hours, heavy rain, nonstop lightning and thunder. Yeah, my wife sleeps right through it. Me, I'm up the whole time, so I'm sure I am not alone today. Tom Fairbanks, my buddy, engineering and producing the show, and I know, Tom, we were talking just before we went on the air. You're in the same boat I am.
I am. I said to you, I just got started. I'm already tired.
Yeah. Yeah. That was a monster dumping 4 to 6 inches up in our neck of the woods, which brings the Buckmaster unofficial total for the past 5 weeks since the summer season began, or monsoon, to a grand total 15 inches. So I think it's time, Tom, somebody looked up what is the wettest monsoon for Tucson and what's the wettest year ever for Tucson.
Yeah, it's almost like Mother Nature feels bad about what she did to us last summer and she's trying to make it up.
Giving us a double dose. And what's coming this weekend? Remember 3 weeks ago? Same setup. So a couple day rain could happen like Friday and Saturday. We're on our 11th year here on the radio on the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studio. They do have the naming rights, and we're glad they do, to our studio at 1030, Tucson's voice for trusted news talk. The call letters are KVOI, The Voice, worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com. It's also the place for all of our podcasts that go back to January of 2011. After I left TV for 22 years, came over to radio, and all of the shows are at buckmastershow.com. Our live line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Without further ado, let's go now on the live line. Dr. Matt Hines, Democrat, representing Pima County Supervisorial District Number 2. Dr. Hines, how are you?
Hi, Bill. I'm doing well. I'm glad that we're getting all this rain. I'm sorry it disturbed your sleep, though.
Yeah, it did. And it's worth it, though, I think, just to kind of put a dent in this drought. Dr. Hines, you were not a happy camper during that meeting yesterday with your colleagues.
Definitely not.
And I assume you are still not a happy camper. After all, you presented a package of actions to the board and to your colleagues that was intended to limit the spread of the coronavirus, the C-19, increase the vaccination rate across the community, and ultimately save lives. Your colleagues didn't agree. What was at stake yesterday, in your opinion, Dr. Hines?
I mean, it's impossible for us to even predict at this time how much more in danger and under threat the school children of Pima County, now back in school, truly are without the protection of the ability to require masking at their individual schools. And what I'm seeing in the hospital that pushed me to put forward most of these measures is that it's the unvaccinated parents, people in their 20s, 30s, and early 40s who have 5-year-olds, 7-year-olds, 9-year-olds who are not vaccine eligible that are catching Delta variant from even before school started, from their kids, interacting with other kids and bringing that back into the household. And the actions of the governor, which endanger our school children and unvaccinated parents of these children, we must stand up just like TUSD did in a unanimous vote to go ahead and require masks for the safety of their teachers and students and staff and parents at home. We need to give them extra legal support by doing that at the county level, among a lot of other things like requiring county employees to become vaccinated, nurses and doctors to become vaccinated if they haven't already, and of course, doing everything we can to mitigate this. And every single one, even declaring a new emergency due to the fact that the Delta variant is pushing up our numbers so precipitously and dramatically, even that failed inexplicably. I have no idea what happened or why, but that even failed despite the CDC upgrading, if you want to call it upgrading, Pima County from a viral transmission level of substantial to high that happened literally during the board meeting yesterday, and even still the motion failed.
And both those motions failed. I believe the vote was 3-2. I'll tell you, one thing I saw, I think it was in maybe the Star, maybe the Tucson Sentinel piece, only 30%. There are 6,800 employees in that work in Pima County. Only 1 in 3 are vaccinated. I'm shocked by that number. That's darn low.
It is really low, and now that is based, I believe, on some of the data that we get from folks voluntarily requesting cards, because we can't, of course, thanks to the state law, we can't demand someone prove that they're vaccinated at the county, but we have a program to allow them to get like a card, like to put with their ID badge. For those who have voluntarily requested that, we can use that data to kind of get an estimate as to how many people have been vaccinated. That's not a complete picture, but certainly it is worrying that it is so low.
We're going to have your colleague, Supervisor Steve Christie, the lone Republican, on the show tomorrow. He was trying to link Dr. Hines during the meeting yesterday, the climbing infections, the rising infections, to the transfer of asylum seekers rather than putting the blame on the unvaccinated population. Your thoughts on that?
You know, Alabama's Governor Kay Ivey, Asa Hutchinson in Arkansas, and many other Republicans, with considerable conservative street cred, have come out to say this is a problem of the unvaccinated. I myself have said I'm fighting for the unvaccinated. The vaccinated folks are going to be fine, but I don't want this to spread to the children or to unvaccinated families where it can potentially kill them. I've seen 30-year-olds and 40-year-olds and 20-year-olds die in the past weeks from COVID, from the Delta variant. That's what we're talking about. And, you know, I have to say, just like scapegoating, like terrified Guatemalans, you know, who are seeking asylum or whichever country they're coming from, is just despicable. And that is a complete and total red herring. It is not relevant to this discussion. In many cases, people aren't even staying permanently in our communities, and they're afforded proper health care and screening. But we shouldn't even be discussing it. It is a disgusting concept, and I'm not surprised that he brought it up. He tends to bring these things up, and frankly, yesterday he won the day. He and my, I guess, other Democratic colleagues prevailed in making people less safe in Pima County and their children less safe as well. And that's truly that I keep coming back to when the governor says no masks in public schools, but the private school that just graduated my son, my child, they can have masks if they want. That's disgusting. That is an equal protection issue. And that's why courts in Arkansas have already stopped enforcement of the similar law restricting jurisdictions from imposing a mask mandate in Arkansas, because they say it's not constitutional. We have the same thing here. So the County Board of Supervisors has decided to follow an unconstitutional law that endangers our children. And at the request of the governor, I don't know where I am anymore.
All right. Before we take the break, and I've got more for Dr. Hines after the break, including why every healthcare worker in Pima County is not required to have a vaccination. But anyway, Wayne has a question for Dr. Hines and for our listeners. Go ahead, Wayne.
Hi, Dr. Hines. I found that you dodged that question that Bill gave you about the people crossing over our border. Thousands and thousands of people are crossing over our border, and they're not vaccinated. They may be infected with COVID, and your outrage of even asking that question or having that in front of us is just despicable as far as I'm concerned. If you're worried about Pima County people having the vaccination, why aren't you worried about people from Guatemala and El Salvador and Mexico who are crossing across our border without any scrutiny? Why?
All right. Let's let Dr. Hines respond to that question.
Sure, Wayne. I agree with you that these people could potentially have illnesses, maybe even the Delta variant, maybe even COVID. That is something we acknowledge, which is why they get proper screening and medical attention through this process. And so I support them continuing to get that and to continue to be transported in a safe manner, assuming we in healthcare, we assume everybody's infected with something. That's how we seem to call the universal precaution. So now I don't dispute that there is a small risk to the county there, absolutely. But the far greater risk is the tens and tens of thousands of unvaccinated, typically younger adults who are currently coming down with this and coming into our hospitals and ICUs and dying.
Well, I said I was going to ask this question after the break, but I think I'm going to ask it right now. Are you concerned, sure, Dr. Hines, working with people as you do as a hospitalist at TMC, working alongside healthcare workers who are not vaccinated?
Yes, I have colleagues that I know are not vaccinated, and I'm so thankful that Banner Health came out actually first in our community, saying at our facilities, they're going to require vaccination as a condition of continued employment for nurses, doctors who work there, and other staff. That is incredibly important. I mean, we have to get TB testing. We have to get the flu shot. We have to show that we have hepatitis B immunity and all of our vaccines, that we all, of course, have gotten throughout our lives. We have to show those to work in healthcare. We can't be a bunch of Typhoid Marys spreading disease around. You come in for a knee replacement and you get a shiny new knee and also the Delta variant. But no, we cannot have that happen. And so I believe Banner Health and also Tucson Medical Center, I applaud their leadership as well for coming out and saying our employees must show that they've either completed or started, depending on the institution, the vaccination process for COVID, because we are providing health care to people and we can't be the source of a potentially fatal virus to anyone in the community that we're serving.
A county administrator, Chuck Huckleberry, did recommend to the board to require the vaccinations for county employees as a condition of employment. What went wrong? What went wrong there? Where did this go south? Was it fear of legal action? And if there was going to be legal action, do you think it would hold up in court if the county had mandated the vaccines?
Yeah, and I believe a lot of this was fear of legal action. But honestly, Bill, you have to do the right thing for your community when we're facing this kind of deadly virus, this contagion, this scourge is coming back stronger than ever, and it's harming children more than the last version did, and it's also, again, putting young people onto ventilators and killing them before our eyes, certainly before mine. And that is why those are the stakes. I believe that Mr. Huckleberry was correct to require this or to recommend this. I think the board was in error to balk at it. And then my colleague, Supervisor Scott, switched the motion around and specifically made it a motion to not mandate COVID vaccination, but allow for other vaccines that we require for people to work in the public. We are public servants. All 7,000 county employees are public servants. We cannot be in the business of conveying a potentially lethal virus to the public and the residents of the county that we serve. It cannot happen. And if people don't want to get vaccinated, that is their choice to not be employed at Pima County further. That is absolutely their choice. It's not the county firing hundreds of people. It's people making that choice for themselves, because you don't get in the county's name to endanger our residents.
All right, we'll pause right here with Dr. Matt Hines. 790-2040 is our live line, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Be right back with Dr. Hines in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. It's Buckmaster Midweek Edition. We'll be right back.
Vero Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowland Swan and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at veroamorepizza.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson. Tucson International Airport.
Why is mining so important? It's the foundation of everything that defines a society. Everything you see is a product of mining. No matter when, no matter how, no matter why, every society on this planet has developed, grown, and modernized based solely on the minerals it could process. That, my friend, is why mining is so important.
Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
The Regional Transportation Authority celebrates 15 years of project delivery to the greater Tucson region. As promised, the RTA has delivered nearly 900 projects from its 20-year 2006 voter-approved regional transportation plan, which is funded by a half-cent RTA tax. The RTA is committed to deliver the remaining plan projects. Learn more about the RTA's economic benefits at rtamobility.com.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com. This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. Dr. Matt Hines, Pima County Supervisor, Democrat representing the 2nd Supervisorial District, is with us on the live line. Going on another topic that did come up yesterday, sure. The Pima County Board of Supervisors decided to withdraw funding, nearly $40,000, to an organization called Barstool Sports, who has now the naming rights to the football Arizona Bowl, which is coming up on New Year's Eve. Did you think this was the right move to make?
Yeah, I did. And it's certainly an unfortunate situation, but looking at the some of the just terrible, terrible comments that we saw in the presentation for the board meeting, Pima County cannot in any way be associated with that. And I was really pleased that you know, it's unfortunate that we had to even look at this and you know, pull back these funds, but we can't have, public dollars going in any way to an organization with any sort of affiliation with a gentleman like this.
Going back to the mask issue that you hope to have passed yesterday but didn't, will you reintroduce that and the emergency, revisiting the emergency proclamation at the next board meeting, which I think is coming up maybe next week?
Monday.
Oh, it's coming up. Okay.
It's a very strange meeting that is out of the normal schedule due to the state. The statute requires us to do this due to, a tax rate affirmation action we have to take as a board. Hmm. So there will be a meeting on Monday. Yes, you will see maybe not every one of these items, but at least three, if not four, of these items will come back and frankly, as far as I'm concerned, every meeting until we do the right thing.
The new numbers have been, there's no question that we're seeing the highest numbers since February, which was a very, very dark time, not only in Pima County, but across the country, a time where I know my wife and I got up at 4 a.m. so we could go stand in line at the Tucson Convention Center to get our first shot. Many people have obviously gone a different direction. But when you look at these numbers, what do you make of them? Do you think we may be, as some believe, including Dr. Scott Gottlieb, the former FDA commissioner, that we may be peaking or close to a peak in the coming week or so? What's your take?
You know, I think every region is a bit different. So our peak could be a couple or 3 weeks off, depending on, just where we are in terms of the rest of the nation. But we are definitely seeing increasing cases, increasing hospitalizations, increasing deaths, because I've been there for some of these, sadly, in our hospitals as a result of this Delta variant. And what I think people just really need to carry home is that this vaccine is the safest and most effective that we've ever developed, especially on such a timeline. And it works still, not for long, because the Delta variant, now there's a variant of the Delta variant, the Lambda, that as we have more and more of these mutations, everyone is a crapshoot. And eventually, we're going to get a mutation that makes all of the mRNA vaccine induced immunity that you have and that I have and that so many others have who chose to get vaccinated by Moderna or Pfizer shot. It will render it useless. And then it's literally like the pandemic starts over. That's the risk of letting this virus replicate just like haphazardly. Every time this virus replicates just once, there's a tiny, tiny chance it could be the mutant that renders all the immunity we've collected globally like completely useless. That is what I'm really scared of. And we've got to get this under control.
Well, the variants, do they have to become more transmissionable for their survival or do they become less deadly necessarily? I'm a little confused on that. How do you see that?
It can be both. And you're right. In mutation, there are hundreds and hundreds of variants already described, and most of them aren't more highly transmissible, and they aren't deadlier. But those are the ones that obviously don't become the prevalent variant. So we saw the native variant, which is the original version of the virus, get replaced in short order by the UK variant, which was much more highly transmissible than the original native virus. That soon became the 80, 85, 90% predominant variant. And we've now seen that with the Delta variant as well. So for those mutations, for the variants that do become more highly transmissible, they then take over because they can hop around much faster and much easier, and therefore they are, from the virus's perspective, more successful. But many variants occur that are not more highly transmissible or necessarily cause worse disease. Now, we are seeing in the Delta variant that it definitely is having some significant and I would say more serious effects on younger patients, even children, not at the numbers that was affecting older adults with regard to the native variant, but still we're seeing more kids get sicker faster and requiring hospitalizations than we were with the other variants.
And is that a shock to their parents? I'm sure you deal with parents who've got sick kids. That's got to be very, very hard for your mental health. It's hard for your mental health. It's hard for your coworkers. And obviously, it's hard for the parents. But did I hear you say at the beginning of the interview that a lot of those parents have not been vaccinated?
That's right. And that's the biggest risk. That's why as I'm thinking to myself, my gosh, I have seen multiple parents in their 30s and early 40s, a pair of them in their 30s intubated just last week who are struggling struggling to survive, right? Like this is happening across the hospitals throughout Southern Arizona, the state and this country. And the thing they have in common, of course, is unvaccinated. But the next thing that they have in common is school-age children usually not vaccine eligible who have been interacting with other children or going to a camp or some such. And basically, they're getting this from their school kids so they can convey it. Typically, the kids aren't going to get as serious of an infection. They can convey it to their parents, and it can be the last thing they do, right? These folks, you know, they end up in ventilators, and in some cases, they don't come off of those ventilators. And these are healthy people. These aren't diabetics. These aren't people with severe heart disease, bypass surgeries, asthma, smokers. No. Most of my patients, other than being overweight in certain cases, there is almost no significant health issue with these folks. And yet, here I am calling the ICU team again to help me intubate a patient at 3 in the morning again and again and again.
There is some good news, and that is that people in our community, Dr. Hines, who are over 60, over 65, predominantly yep. have been vaccinated. So you're not, I'm just guessing, you're probably not seeing as many older people.
No, not at all. I can remember somebody in their early 70s from about 2+ months ago. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, without judgment, I just ask so that I know if we have to report a vaccine breakthrough case, you know, ma'am, have you been vaccinated? And in this case, this person said no. So the only patients I've seen 65 plus, and it really it's just been one or two, have been patients that have, for whatever reason, not gotten around to getting vaccinated. Mm-hmm. And that just that tells the story right there.
It really does. It
works.
Really does. Good piece of information. Thank you very much, Dr. Hines, for spending some time with you. We'll look forward to your next visit next month. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Bill. Bye now.
All right. Dr. Matt Hines, Pima County Supervisor, District Number 2, with us on the Buckmaster Show. And now we've got another interview, a newsmaker interview. Paul Cunningham will be next. He's waiting in the wings. We'll be on our live line. Take our break right here. CBS Network News, the Buckmaster Show. Sponsors, then back with you.
Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley, proudly announces a second Tucson area location where you'll enjoy locally brewed craft beer and gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and now at the Doubletree Hotel on Alvernon across from Tucson's Reed Park. More on the web at noblehops.com.
Have you ever imagined how your life would be without the modern conveniences you rely on every day? Everything you need depends entirely on products produced from mining. Without mining, think Stone Age. Your work commute might be a bit slower, but you could still have social media. Bathing shouldn't be a problem, but it won't be in a tub. So unless you're a caveman, you can see everything that enriches your life depends on the many miracles from mining. Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than 2 decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin.
TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Are you searching for a sumptuous suite on the Italian Riviera, an exploration of the mighty Mississippi, or an indulgent spa in Cancun? Bon Voyage Travel will help you find exactly the vacation you're looking for anywhere in the world. With many cruises setting sail in over 1,100 hotels and resorts to choose from with our exclusive benefits, Bon Voyage Travel's experienced advisors are here to guide you every step of the way. Visit bvtravel.com or call 797-1110.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. A sleepy-eyed Bill Buckmaster with you, and Tom Fairbanks also sleepy because our sleep was certainly disrupted last night as the storm went on and on. And finally, about 1 o'clock, there was some quiet, and the lightning and thunder had moved on. But it was quite a storm, a four-hour storm up at our place, dumping copious amounts of rain, about 5 inches or so. And it rained over at Green Things, and the Green Things love the rain. And this is a great time to start thinking about what are you going to put now into your garden. Maybe some tropical plants. I don't know. But they've got just about everything that will grow and do well in our area over at Green Things, 3384 East River Road by the Rito River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. Their website, greenthingsaz.com. They're open every day, as is their sister business, which is on the property on the 13-acre site, Zocalo Village. Their website, zocalovillage.com. Let's go now on the live line, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management, for our monthly visit with Ward 2 Tucson City Councilman Democrat Paul Cunningham. Paul, how are you?
Great, Bill. Thanks for having me on. Congratulations on the full recovery on the arm.
Yeah, and thank you for bringing that up. I did share with my Facebook friends the news yesterday, so I'll give an update real quickly. The 12-week assessment, it's always important, 12 weeks, an x-ray and assessment, because that is typically about how long it takes for any bone in your body to heal. Some will heal in 4 or 5 weeks, but by the time you get to 12, you're going to have healing, hopefully, and what they call remodeling of the bone. And the x-ray looked pretty darn good and showing that the bone's okay. So now the full focus continues to be on getting the range of motion back to where I'm comfortable. Yeah, I'm able to do some things again, but hey, I want to get back to like 80, 90% at least. That's going to take maybe 3 more months. I have my weekly PT right after the show today. It isn't pleasant because you got to break up all that scar tissue, but the more they can break up, the faster I'll get range of motion back. So I was pretty jazzed, Paul, to get that report.
Well, I was glad for you and read it on Facebook. I even clicked the little thumbs up button.
Yep, appreciate
my
that.
My guy right there.
Huh?
One step at a time.
Yeah,
one step in front of the other, right?
Yeah. Are you now back in school, or what's going on with your life?
Yes, I am still. We're back in school. I've been teaching since last Thursday, and this winds up our first 5-day period, if you will. Yeah, kids are back. It is. It's nice to feel normal, but you're looking over your shoulder because we teach 6th, 7th, and 8th graders. 8th graders are permitted to be vaccinated, and a lot have opted in to do that. But a lot of our 7th and 6th graders can't, and so you have to take some extra precautions. We are doing our best to do that.
Is everyone masked up?
Yes, absolutely. I actually wear a K95 mask, KN95 mask with a cloth mask over it.
Yeah, that's what I'm starting to wear now. They're not the most comfortable in the world, but from what I understand, they will stop pretty much 95% of the Delta variant. They're pretty effective. Let's go to the live line. Now we have Matt would like to ask a question of Paul Cunningham. Go ahead, Matt.
Yeah, hey, Councilman, any thoughts on the DSEG decision that's in the newspaper today with the tax subsidy? I know it's technically not a city council issue, but just curious what your read is on the matter.
Well, you know what? First of all, we're talking about a decision that I don't think it really breaks anything up too much yet. It could happen that way, but I think there's a process that's going to kind of unfold as you know, more decisions are made. For now, where I'm at as an employee of the school district, I'm just trying to kind of deal with what's right in front of us, which is the which is really just reopening schools in the time of COVID. So that's kind of where my focus has been. I haven't really given enough analysis to the latest DSEG decision to make an informed comment.
And for those that don't know, Matt, that is about the tax implications of dropping the DSEG suit, correct, Matt?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we have two things happening. You know, we have the TUSD trying to get out of the DSEG, I think, ruling, you know, and in that. At the same time, we have the question of the property taxes being, you know, and the decision of the court. So, again, I understand why this is a very complicated issue, and so I look forward to, you know, anybody's thoughts on it. But we'll pick it up in the future. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Matt, for your call. Matt called at 790-2040. Now, let's talk about the city council discussion yesterday about the possibility of requiring or some kind of incentive for city employees to get vaccinated. The county decided yesterday not to go that route with mandatory vaccinations. Is it coming for the city, Paul Cunningham?
I don't think so. We followed kind of suit with the county. There's just some logistical pieces and, quite frankly, some enacted laws that are complete barriers to that. One could argue that there's also the rights piece. So, that notwithstanding, right now, if we dismiss anybody in the city, they are subject to civil service review. On September 29th, it is illegal to be able to dismiss anybody or take employee action against any civil service employee for not getting vaccinated. So that kind of just makes anything we decide to do moot or an exercise in almost futility. So, I'm the first guy that says everybody should be getting vaccinated if you can. I think it's ridiculous that if you choose not to get vaccinated and you've got a good reason, I get that. And everybody has their version of what good reasons are. But the bottom line is, I said, if there's no reason that you can't get vaccinated, you just don't believe it, I ask you to look at the science. I ask you to take a look at what's happening in Houston and in Florida and in most of Texas right now, where, you know, they got four out of four senators in those two states voting down the infrastructure bill, voting not wanting any federal aid and now begging for it because their hospitals are filled and their ICUs are full. So, I mean, I want us to be successful against COVID. I want to open up next to normal. And obviously, that's always the ultimate goal. But we can't get there unless we put some faith in some of the folks that are really trying to help us. And I think some of the folks that have told me in the beginning, they said, look, I want to wait on the vaccination after a year and see where people are for a year. And that is actually, at the time, I said that was I'll give you that. I wasn't going to wait. I have faith. But that year's almost up. So that's kind of my thought on that piece. I think it'll be interesting to see if the necessity of boosters emerges in the next 3 or 4 months. It seems that a lot of that data is going to be incumbent on what happens in Israel over the next month. who all got back, who got vaccinated about a month and a half before. So those are kind of my thoughts. But the bottom line is that for us as an employer, it's going to be really difficult to mandate vaccines at this point.
Do you think that's about right? I think Mike Ortega, your city manager, said about 30% of the roughly 5,000 employees are not vaccinated. Did that seem about right to you?
I think it's more like 20. I think it's about 1,000 employees that aren't vaccinated, give or take.
So
about 20%. But I mean, we're splitting hairs there. Whatever. It's there's definitely a substantial contingent.
All right. I want to switch topics, so maybe this would be the time to take a break. Paul Cunningham has pulled his truck over to the side of the road, and he's doing his interview in the truck. There was a time a few minutes ago where it sounded like this would probably date me, but I heard the engines going on like that old song 409 or something, or Jan
wasn't,
and
that wasn't my truck. That wasn't my truck.
Jan and Dean, Tom Fairbanks will remember this, Dead Man's Curve or something. It sounded like the opening to that song. But anyway, let's Paul, hang with us. We'll be right back on the Buckmaster Show.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Hello, I'm Jeanette Bewley, President and CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority, with news of our new effort to ensure air traveler safety and security going through our terminal. It's called TUS Cares, and you can read more about it on our website, flytucson.com. As you carefully weigh your decision to fly, I want you to know whether it's next week, next month, or next year, we are here for you at Tucson International Airport. Thank you.
When the public weighed in on the first draft of the Regional Transportation Authority Plan, the RTA responded by revising the final plan before voter approval in 2006. The RTA is preparing for a new plan for voter consideration by June 2026 and invites your input on regional transportation priorities. A draft plan will be presented for further public review. Submit your input or learn more at rtanext.com.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
MedCare to You is a new Tucson-based concierge telemedicine urgent care, specializing in caring for our patients in the comfort of your location. We deliver your prescriptions and even provide in-person visits with our dedicated staff. It's convenient, quick, private, and your personal information is always protected. Find out more at MedCareToYouAZ.com.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, the midweek edition, presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. It's a great time to go over to Silver City. Things are cool over there. Look at these highs for the weekend, low 70s. And overnight lows in the 50s at mile-high elevation. That's 5,500 feet above sea level, anywhere from 5,500 to 7,000 feet. You're going to get some beautiful weather this time of year. Everything's very green, of course, over there, like it is here in Tucson. So it's a great time to take that road trip, just a three-hour drive over to Silver City. And visit southwestnewmexico.org. You will find a wealth of information about your visit and planning your visit, where to stay, what to do, where to eat, some great places to eat. So check it out, Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Paul Cunningham, Tucson City Councilman, is with us on our live line, and I got a, during the break, checking my email, and the Arizona House of Representatives, Jake Hoffman, saying he speaks for 25 other Republican lawmakers who are very upset about local jurisdictions in the state going against the governor when it comes to mask mandates, and this particular news release calling on the governor to withhold federal funding to any jurisdiction. Basically, it says any school district that is not in compliance with state law. So they want to get really tough, Paul Cunningham, on districts that are requiring masks.
Well, I mean, as a teacher, that's really tough. So basically what you're asking me to do is go into a live, but he's also demanding that all schools teach live school and not go to virtual teaching. I mean, is that what he's asking? Because I'm really wondering, as a teacher, who you have one way to protect yourself. It's pretty apparent that the Delta variant is somewhat vaccination resistant, and that you can still contract COVID, and in some cases get a severe case. So you're giving teachers no recourse to protect themselves. Is that what he's asking? Sounds like he really doesn't care about the health and safety of teachers. That's what it sounds like to me.
Yeah, and I Tom Fairbanks, thanks, Tom, pulling up another breaking story with back to school around the corner and students getting ready for the ASU, U of A, and NAU. ASU just made the decision they're going to require face masks at ASU when inside all university buildings. So that is happening, too. And I think that might go.
I wonder if Representative Hoffman, if the U of A doesn't require those masks, he's going to be more than happy to give all the money to the institution in Tucson. This is the type of grandstanding that we have right now.
Yeah.
We need to start talking about public health, man. Ludicrous.
I want to quickly change topics to the scooters. We haven't talked about that in ages. There have been other, what most people would say, are probably more important things. But a year ago, the scooters came were available downtown. It was a one-year contract, and the year's up. And the council renewed the contract. Is that correct?
Yes, we did.
Why?
Well, it's an extra mode of transportation. Hmm. We are limiting the number of scooters, and we feel that this is I personally feel that it's a popular mode of transportation with youth, and we've done a pretty good job in not suffering some of the problems that they had going back 3 years in like San Diego, LA, and other western west of the Rocky cities, where you know thousands of scooters got dumped. We've regulated the number. We think it's a good partnership we have, and so we renewed it.
Have there been any more accidents, or did that come up at the meeting?
No, it wasn't really. It wasn't discussed too much at the meeting. I know statistically there have been a couple of accidents, but they are pretty. I'm not going to dismiss any. All accidents are serious. but they are within the same parameters of some of the bicycle accidents, some pedestrian accidents. Yeah.
We had the We had the deputy chief, Kaz Mirzak. Deputy Chief Kaz Mirzak was my guest on Friday. I was very impressed with him. He's concerned, we're all concerned about the violent crime rate going up. And he talked about trying to get officers. Recruiting has become not just difficult for Tucson. It's a nationwide issue. Many people don't want to get anywhere near the field of law enforcement. This is going to be a real challenge, Paul Cunningham.
You're darn right it is. It's so difficult. And not only that, it's really hard to clear people. We've got these kind of archaic, antiquated rules on people who are allowed to be police officers and how the process of selection goes. So we'll get 500 or 600 applicants. We used to get 2,000, and we have to reject 300 or 400 applicants. AZ Post just rejects them. So that's all, that also presents a challenge to us. And then once they get into our program, there is a 6-month academy, and there's a 6-month kind of like internship, like on the job. And then there's another 1-year probation. It's a 2-year process to become a to become a police officer. And it isn't for lack of funding. It isn't for lack of for this council trying to support this government department. Our biggest challenge right now is getting applicants into the academy. And I'll tell you, I wish there was a way to fix that, but there isn't. We're trying to look for other modern or more progressive avenues into law enforcement, but we still need people to respond to certain situations that require enforcement. They just do. We had a situation where a young man was killed by officers, but the young man had been involved or had suspectedly been involved in 2 or 3 drive-by shootings that prior week. We have to go execute that warrant. And those things, sometimes people don't want to talk about those things, but they're important to recognize. It's important that for all the folks that don't want any police or seem to believe we should defund police completely, you forget how much we do need the police. And we've got to come back to that medium where we citizenry and the police department is a partnership. I think that both sides are trying to put their feet forward to make that happen. But there was a period that existed stemming greatly from the George Floyd incident that really planted some mistrust into law enforcement around the country. And I think law enforcement as a result in the community that our police officers have definitely had to taken a hit there. We need to remember that we've got a lot of great officers that work for the Tucson Police Department. We have one of the most trained and most professional departments in the world, and we're doing our best to make them prepared, give them the amount of personnel they need, and give them the resources they need to successfully serve and protect the city.
All right, Paul Cunningham, thank you. You can start your engine now of the truck and head back to school. You're teaching social studies, is that correct?
I'm actually teaching PE this year.
Oh, good for you. All right. Paul,
I am not in PE teacher shape, but I'm a work in progress.
Okay. Paul, thank you very much. Be safe. Have a great day.
Bill, thank you. Have a great day.
Thanks a lot. Paul Cunningham with us on behalf of Mr. Cunningham, Councilman Cunningham, Tom Fairbanks, Engineering and Producing. I'm Bill Buckmaster. Hope you have a great afternoon.